Please stand if you're able. Good job. In honor and reverence of the reading of the scripture. Today's reading is from the book of Job. There was once a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. As God lives, who has taken away my right, and the Almighty who has made my soul bitter, as long as my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips will not speak falsehood, and my tongue will not utter deceit. Far be it from me to say that you are right. Until I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. I hold fast my righteousness and will not let it go. My heart does not reproach me for any of my days. May my enemy be like the wicked, and may my opponent be like the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the godless when God cuts them off, when God takes away their lives? Will God hear their cry when trouble comes upon them? Will they take delight in the Almighty? Will they call upon God at all times? I will teach you concerning the hand of God, that which is with the Almighty I will not conceal. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. You got it. So last Sunday, after worship here, we were done, I made my way up to Asheville, to the mountains, not to go and to view the leaves like everybody else was on that day, it seemed like, but I went up to visit one of my fraternity brothers. It had been a year since several of us had gotten together. It was actually a year to the day that we had gotten together, and actually got a picture from that gathering. We gathered. This was the first time all five of us, had been together since many of us had graduated. I graduated App State in 1989, so this was the first time last year that all five of us had been back together. We were fraternity brothers. Most of us were roommates with one another at one time during our collegiate career there at App, and so we had a great time. It was a good time. It was filled with laughter and telling of stories that we don't tell anybody else. But it was also a time of sadness because one in our group was in the midst of battling cancer. And so there's a little bit of sadness in that because we had a feeling. He had just had been at the hospital, and the news he had gotten, the most recent news, had not been that good. And so there was a feeling among us that, you know what, this might be the last time all five of us are together. Now, Jeff is his name. He's only a couple years younger than I am. He's a runner. He was always in good health, and yet he's the one that's battling cancer. And looks like the most healthy one up there. Mostly he's on the end there on your right is Jeff. And yet he's the one that's in the midst of battling cancer. And I think back to that and I think, you know what, sometimes life just doesn't seem fair, does it? And you have probably asked that same question. People have for years and years and years asked this question. A spouse leaves, and it's like, why? Why? You lose your job, and it's like, why did this happen? We face difficult circumstances, tragedies in our lives, pain and loss, and we wonder. Just doesn't seem fair, does it? And we're left a lot of times with that question of, why? Why is this happening to me? It's actually one of the oldest questions in the Bible, too. Job, as we just heard a moment ago, is described as one who was blameless and upright, one who feared God and turned away from evil. So in other words, Job, he's a good guy. He's a faithful person. He's a person of high integrity. He's righteous. And yet when you read on in the book of Job, you find that catastrophe after catastrophe happens to Job, right? He loses his family. He loses his wealth. He loses his health. All these bad things happen to him. And you're left with the question, you know, why? This doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair. I mean, he goes against what most of us have learned, I think, in life. I don't know, but I think at least I was taught if you are, you know, if you work hard, if you do what you're supposed to do, if you're good, then, you know, good things happen to you, right? We learn this from the moment we start school. I think a lot of us do, right? If you listen to your teacher, you know, don't talk when you're not supposed to, stay in line, follow the instructions, you were rewarded, correct? I don't know, you know, you would get maybe a gold star beside your name, or I don't know, all kinds of little things. You would get rewarded. And those who did not do those things, what happened to them? Well, let's see. I remember there were people standing in the corner with their nose in the corner. Yeah. You know, the most severe cases had to go visit the principal. You had to write things like, I will not talk when the teacher is talking. 100 times did you have to do? I still have writer's cramp from that. You know, basically that you learn, what do you learn? Hey, when you're good, you're rewarded. When you're not, just suffer the consequences. Bad things, you know what? Bad things happen to you. And you know, that's what we learn. And yet God never promises us that life is going to be fair. Right? And so that's why maybe we need to unlearn some things. Right? We learn early on, hey, if you do what's right, you'd be good, you're right, all those kind of things. You know, good things are supposed to happen, and yet life reminds us that it's not always fair. God reminds us that life is not always fair. Job reminds us that life is not always fair. Now, we don't know if Job was a historical figure, or the book of Job is more like a parable, you know, a story with a purpose. Regardless if he was historical or not, it doesn't matter because the message remains the same. To me. And I think it helps us deal with this question of why and the question of fairness. You know, in this morning's passage, it says, you know, as Job writes, you know, as God lives. So it's kind of, this is a statement of faith. As God lives. But then he says this, who has taken away my right, who has denied me justice, in other words, the Almighty who has made my soul bitter. This is what I like about Job, because Job is just like us. When we find ourselves in difficult circumstances, when bad things happen to us, what is our normal reaction? It's got to be someone else's fault, right? We want to blame others. Well, it can't be. You know, it can't be. And so Job is just like us. What does he do? Job blames God. You know, why is this happening? I'm faithful. I'm righteous. I'm a stand-up guy. And yet all this stuff is happening to me. See, that's the other thing I think we have to learn. Unlearn and then learn, and that is faith is not a magic formula. It's not an antidote to the consequences of life. Just because we're faithful doesn't insulate us, doesn't protect us from negative consequences. And all you gotta do is look at the Bible. And time after time again, we see person after person who are, you know, they're good people, they're faithful, difficult. They find themselves in the midst of negative circumstances. I remember, you know, think about Joseph. What happened to Joseph? Joseph is one, he's got lots of brothers, and what do they do to him? They sell him into slavery. They want to kill him to begin with. Some of them do, right? When at least there was at least one brother. He says, well, let's don't kill him. Let's just sell him into slavery. We'll get rid of him that way. And that's what they do. What did he do to deserve that? Nothing that I know of. Except that his father liked him, maybe more than others, so they were jealous. They really should be mad at dad, not Joseph. And so he's sold into slavery, and yet Joseph remains faithful, doesn't he? Yeah, he's sold into slavery by his brothers, and then eventually, through a series of circumstances, he ends up in Egypt, right? Becomes the manager of one of the premier estates in the land there, and so his fortunes have changed. And yet, while managing the estate, what happens to him? Do you remember? His boss's wife. Yeah, makes advances to him, right? And he, you know, he refuses her advances. He does the right thing. And what does she do? She promptly accuses him of rape. And Joseph finds himself in prison. Sometimes life is not fair. Right? I was thinking, we were thinking this week, and Hagar came to mind. You remember Hagar? Sarah's servant, Abraham and Sarah couldn't conceive, couldn't have children. Sarah desperately wanted children, and so what did she say to her servant? Hagar, hey, you know, how about you and Abraham have a child on my behalf? So Hagar, she does exactly what's asked of her. Not that she probably had a choice, but anyway, that's another story for another time. But she does exactly what's, and she and Abraham, they conceive. They have a son. You remember his name? Ishmael, exactly. And from that moment on, though, Sarah despises Hagar, resents Hagar, treats her poorly, so much so that Hagar flees to escape her. And she's got to have wondered, why is this happening to me? I've only done what I was supposed to do. You know, this isn't fair. Daniel, right? Daniel was faithful to God when the decree came down, hey, don't be praying in public. You know, what does Daniel do? Daniel continues to honor God and to pray. And because he disobeyed the decree, the king, he's thrown into the lion's den. And so when we read the scriptures time and time and time again, we find that bad things happen to good people regardless if they're faithful, right? They can be faithful, and these bad things happen. Life is not fair, even to the faithful. See, faith does not exempt us from life's circumstances. Faith does not exempt us from life's circumstances. All right? Sometimes life just is not fair. I mean, again, Job, man of faith, impeccable integrity, and yet all these things happen to him. And so, like anyone, God, you must have done. His friends reinforce it. If you read the book, his friends keep telling him, you know what, you must have really messed up for all this bad stuff to happen to you. Or, you know, somebody in your family is really messed up for all this stuff. There's got to be a reason, right? You have done something. Somebody has done something in your family for this stuff to happen. Again, that's why I like Job. I like his friends too, because I can relate to him. Because again, when bad things happen, I'm gonna blame God, or I'm gonna blame somebody. It's got to be a reason this is happening to me. Why is God punishing me? Right? Even Jesus' own disciples had this understanding. They're one day they're walking along with Jesus, and they see a blind man. And they say, hey, Jesus, who sinned? You know, who sinned? The blind man or someone in his family that, you know, that he's blind now? You know, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And what does Jesus say? No, nobody, neither. Neither, because tragedy is not a judgment against sin. In other words, Jesus is saying, God did not make this person blind. All right? There was another time the disciples, they're sitting around in a restaurant or something one day, and they're reading the Galilean news, and they look at Jesus and they said, hey, did you see this news story, Jesus? All these people were murdered under the regime of Pilate. These Galileans have been murdered. And Jesus says, well, do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans because they suffered in this way? In other words, is this happening to them because they were such bad Galileans? And Jesus says, no, no. Another disciple, they read the news again, a tower collapsed, killing 18 folks. And Jesus says, do you think these 18 people were worse sinners than you? Jesus doesn't give them a chance to answer. He answers for them and says, no. Uh-uh. Because tragedy is not a judgment against sin. In other words, God doesn't make this, you know, didn't make that tower fall on these people so they would die. Or for Pilate to, you know, take the lives of those Galileans. Because tragedy, you know, is not a judgment against sin, but it can be an opportunity to unlearn life, though. Right? Tragedy can be an opportunity to unlearn life. Right? Pain, loss, unfairness, all of that are opportunities to unlearn life. I mean, stuff happens. Right? You've seen the bumper sticker? Doesn't say that exactly, but we know what it says, right? Yeah. Job had his own version of that. This is what he said. He said, human beings are born to trouble just as sparks fly upward. All right? Human beings are born to trouble just as sparks fly upward. In other words, it's going to happen. All of you are going to experience pain, loss, suffering, negative kind of circumstances. I mean, you're alive. It's going to happen, right? It's a fact of life. Life is not always going to be fair. And so we have to unlearn, and we have to learn that and unlearn that, you know what, no matter how hard we try, we can't control everything, right? No matter how hard we try. I got four kids, let me tell you. And none of my kids were born at an opportune time. Mm-mm. So Allie, my oldest, was born. I think Mindy went in labor on a Friday night. And that lasted for 24 hours. So think about this. Friday night, 24 hours, and I'm stressing the whole time because guess what? Sunday morning is coming, exactly. And I wasn't wise enough to have someone on call in case, you know, my kid comes and I can't be there on a Sunday morning. So I'm like, come on, come on, come on, you know. And Minnie's like, you're more concerned about preaching on Sunday morning than you are about me. I'm like, no, honey, that's not it. But, you know, you learn, you can't. Maggie, my second one, came, and she came. She came a little bit quicker, but here's the thing. I had to run home, get my stuff, because I had a funeral to do. So she came, and right after that, I had to go do a funeral. I was thinking about Lily. Lily came. Oh well. So we're at home, and Mindy goes, I think my water broke. What? My first thing was, get a towel. That didn't go over too well. But then we were just hoping that we'd get to the hospital on time with Lily. Because she like came in like 4 hours. Like, let me out of here. And then Brady, our last one. Brady was just difficult. He didn't want to come, and he was turned the wrong way, and then his collarbone broke, and all this kind of stuff. Mindy said, you know, if he'd have been our first one, that'd have been it. He was that difficult. And so I learned, or I had to unlearn, that I can't control everything, all right? I cannot control everything. I cannot control things no matter how hard I might try, but I can, what I've learned, learning, I am learning, that I can control how I respond in the midst of it, right? I can control how I respond in the midst of it. Back to Job in chapter 27 that we heard from. And God, Job says, you know, God lives, but God has denied me justice. God is all powerful, but life's not fair. Then he says this, as long as my breath is in me and the spirit of God in my nostrils, my lips will not speak falsehood. My tongue will not utter deceit. In other words, Job's, you know, I'm not going to be negative. All these bad things happen, I'm not going to be negative. I'm not, you know, I do feel like God's doing this too. You know, I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to continue to be righteous and be a person of integrity and faith, right? Because he goes on to say, far be it from me to say that you are right. Until I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. I mean, here's someone who's lost his faith, his family, his health, his wealth, all that stuff. And he learns, can't control it, but he can control his response. I hold fast my righteousness and I will not let it go. My heart does not reproach me for any of my days, he says. we can't control. Life is going to be unfair, but only thing we can't control that. What we can control, how we respond. You know, I look at our table and these that we remember these days, and let's be honest, some were expected, some were not expected, right? Doesn't lessen the pain or the loss that we feel. Doesn't change that one bit, right? Doesn't change the circumstances. We can't control that. We can just control how we respond in the midst of it, right? We choose to do what, you know, we decide how we're going to deal with maybe the pain and loss that will always be there, but we can decide how we're going to deal with that. We can allow it to consume us, and we can get stuck there, you know, or we can allow God to use it, and even out of a negative circumstance, you know, maybe bring something good out of it. In a former congregation I served, we had a young couple there, and they had a son who was born with multiple congenital heart defects. Right? So much so that he actually got a heart transplant at the age of one. Yeah. Unfortunately, he passed away at the age of six. So, you know, just imagine the pain, the loss, I can't imagine it. You know, I can't. It's never fair, you know, it's never fair for a child to die, right? But those parents got to the point where they refused to allow that to consume them. And so the pain and the loss and all that still remain, but they chose to respond by, you know, establishing a foundation to help other families and other parents whose children were going through very difficult circumstances, because it's a burden, you know, financially in all kinds of ways. And so they founded the Hearts and Hope Foundation to come alongside those who are going through, you know, something similar. Right? That's how they chose to respond. Now, did God cause their son to have a heart defect? I say no. Did God take any of our loved ones away? I would say no. All right? You know, does God plan or desire for a loved one or for a friend to get a disease? Again, I would say no. Or for an addiction to take hold. Right? I mean, would we desire that? Would we plan that? Would we want that to happen to any of our own children or anybody else's children? Would we? Why would we think God would feel any different? If we wouldn't do it, why would we think God would do that? All right? We can't control the negative circumstances, but we can choose how we respond, right? How we frame it, what do we do with it? Because the unfairness, tragedy, all that's going to happen, right? But do we unlearn life and allow God to maybe bring something good out of that? You know, Job and Joseph and Hagar and Daniel and all these others that we read about in the scriptures, you know why they're in the scriptures? Because of the way they responded in the midst of it, right? Again, Joseph, brothers sell him into slavery, ends up managing in this huge estate. Eventually, his brothers come to Egypt seeking food because of the famine in the land, and Joseph is in a position to exact revenge or to be graceful. And here's what Joseph says. You intended this for evil, but God used it for good to accomplish what is now being done in the saving of many lives. Joseph decides how he's going to respond, doesn't he? Paul in the New Testament said, you know, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Again, and Paul, he was thrown off ships and, you know, stoned and all these kind of things, put in prison. Jesus himself even said, you know, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Not my will, but yours be done. And then Romans, We know that in all things, God works together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. So I don't believe God calls us the negative things, the bad things to happen, but I think God enters into them and God can bring something good from it. God can redeem that anything. Because becoming bitter or anger, and it's okay, you can do all that. God can take all of that. So when people say, you know, I feel bad because I'm mad. It's okay, God can take all that. It's like, yeah, Job is great. Yeah, you can be mad at me all you want. Be bitter and anger, all right? It's not going to change the circumstance, but you know, if it helps you cope, then that's fine, right? But understand, maybe you need to unlearn. I didn't cause it. I would never want to cause these painful, tragic things to happen. But we can respond like Job responded. The Lord has given, the Lord has taken, to bless the Lord's name. In all this, Job didn't sin or blame God. Somewhere along the way, Job worked through that and he was able to unlearn life. So last Sunday, I told you I traveled to see Jeff. And the reason I made that journey is because hospice had been called in. And so I knew, that there wasn't going to be a lot of time. And so I went and got to visit. And Sunday, well, let me just tell you, Sunday was a good day. Because Jeff was alert. And we told stories, we talked, we laughed, we shed tears, right? I mean, actually, I got a picture from the visit. It was a good day. Monday, Steve, who was also in the picture early on, he let me know, he gave me an update because he lived in Nashville. And he said, hey, the family's asked that there be no visitors today. Jeff's tired from something I can understand. Sunday was a big day. It was a good day. And then Tuesday morning, Steve texted me and said, Jeff just passed away a few minutes ago. And so in that moment, I was reminded, you know, sometimes life just isn't fair, right? But here's what I'm continually having to unlearn. You know, and that is, you know, we weren't created to be immortal, right? Our bodies eventually will wear out. Some of us will get things like cancer or congenital heart failure, defects, and things like that. And we might be healthy, or just a young child. Disease will attack our bodies. For some, addiction will take hold and will not let go of us, right? Sometimes life just isn't fair. And that's not because of something God has done. I don't believe God gave my brother Jeff cancer. God didn't take him away from his mom or from his family or from his loved ones. Just like I don't believe he took your loved one away. I don't believe God needed them in heaven. Right? Sometimes bad things happen to even the most faithful. See, God doesn't promise us that tragedy will not befall us, that there will, because we are faithful, we'll live a life without pain or loss or suffering or disease or addictions. God doesn't promise us that life will be fair. Instead, God promises what Isaiah proclaims. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. See, that's God's promise. And that's what I'm learning. Let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks, even if it's for a short time. We give you thanks for those in our lives that bring us joy, that bring a smile to our faces. Lord, we give you thanks for the saints that we lift this day, for those in our lives that have crossed our paths, oh Lord, that are no longer with us. We give you thanks for them. But at the same time, we still grieve. We still feel the loss. And so, Lord, we pray, oh Lord, that you would remind us that you are indeed with us every step of the way. Remind us that you are not the cause of that pain and the loss that we feel, but instead you enter into it and you take it upon yourself and you walk with us. And for that, O Lord, we give you thanks. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. And so I invite us to stand and to lift our voices, because even Job, all this stuff, bad stuff happened to him, he was still able to sing praise. It's why when we celebrate and we gather together to mourn our loss, we still celebrate and we still sing praises, because the promise isn't that, you know what, the bad thing's not going to happen. The promise is that, you know, I can bring something good out of it, right? And I will be with you no matter what.